You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on a Monday morning, October 13th. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly standing by in the Green Bay area as well. It is 54 degrees. Cool valley. The spot in the state side at 45 right now. Warm spot, 61 degrees in Madison, Milwaukee, La Crosse, Manitowoc, Sturgeon Bay, and elsewhere. Again, your local forecast throughout the course of the morning on your favorite Civic Media radio network station. Kristen, you did not do your usual biking to Lambeau Field to watch the Packers, and you have the sympathy or the understanding of Jim in Brookfield, who puts on the text line, "Good morning, Pat. As another new member of the knee replacement club, I can completely understand why Dr. Lyerly did not bike to Lambeau Field. I'm an avid bicyclist who is 3.5 weeks out from surgery, and I'm currently having a hard time with a stationary bike at rehab. I'm confident it will only get better from Jim in Brookfield." Yes, it will.
Jim, yep. Keep your chin up. It does. Every day is a little bit better. It stinks when you can't be yourself. And It really gives you a great appreciation for people who live with challenges and physical disabilities every day. And they just get up and they do what they do and get through it. And we have to do the same.
And you know, despite the lengthy recovery, I mean, you still feel like this was the right move, that when all the recovery is finished, this will have been the thing that needed to get done.
Well, this is one of those investment in your future kind of things.
Yeah.
Because my knee was so unstable, it was making it hard for me to, like, you know, go up and down steps and even just to run. I couldn't run a short distance because I just felt like my knee was going to give out. So now I can do more things, or I will be able to once I'm recovered, which is going to make me age better. And ultimately, isn't that what we all want as we get older, to be the best that we can be?
Oh, I would have loved to have aged better. I really should have. Should have listened to all that advice back in the day, but well, you know,
you got time to age better still.
I'm doing the best I can.
Pickling helps.
Actually, no, that's the whole point. I'm not doing the best that I can, but I can only go up from here, I hope. Anyway, it is 7:09 and all three of us are sitting here wearing Brewers gear of some sort or another, a t-shirt, a jersey, a Hawaiian shirt, all to note that the Milwaukee Brewers defeated the Chicago Cubs in game 5 of the National League Division Series over the weekend and have moved on. We will now play for the National League pennant against the LA Dodgers starting tonight at American Family Field. And of course, here on the Civic Media Radio Network as well, coverage begins at 6:30 for a first pitch at 7:08. Head to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. I had some friends ask about, you know, coming out over the weekend, and it was like, no, because if the Brewers win, then there's going to be night games Monday and Tuesday, and I gotta keep a little reserve in the tank, you know, because again, the next couple of mornings are going to be, you know, one of those exciting but exhausted type of things.
It's the afternoons that really matter now, Pat, because that is nap time now.
So, don't you love how, is he not the youngest person we've ever known who has so thoroughly embraced nap time in the afternoons?
I don't know. I think that's a Gen Z thing.
I think it kind of is a little bit. Yeah.
Gen
Z. Calling them
No. I think Gen Z is like, you know what? I know you guys did it this way, but it's not actually working. So we're going to do it this way because it actually works. I have a lot of faith in Gen Z.
You know, it's funny that you say that because look, when you were coming up through residency, I know that every so often I would calculate it for Sherry, and sometimes she would be working at the hospital 100 hours a week, and I'm sure you weren't far off of that. And then you started to notice this trend where, you know, they decided not to try to kill the residents as they went through the program. Well, the younger docs now, as they've talked about call schedules, I mean, again, for Sherry's generation, it was just assumed you would work a 24-hour shift, you know, like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or in residency, it was always, a lot more than that. And there had been this move about changing some call schedules and things. And one of the younger docs was like, put their foot down and said, absolutely not. There is no need to do 24s when we can do 12s. And so one was doing 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. and one was doing 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And for Sherry, who was like, it makes so much sense, but my generation wouldn't have dreamed of speaking up because you just did it because that's the way things were done. The younger folks are like, why are we doing it? Why are we killing ourselves? We can do 12s instead of 24s. We're like, that's brilliant. Why didn't we think of that? Because
that's That's the thing about Gen Z. They're just like, no, I don't think so. That's the way you've always been doing it. Why? And, you know, it makes us question, like, why have we? Those work hour restrictions were game changers. But you have to balance also when you were there longer, you got to see more stuff. But after, there are studies that show that if you've been working 16 hours straight, after hour 16, your mental capacity starts to diminish. We're humans. And even when you're young, that is, you're just not taking the best care of patients after 16 hours. So actually, it's better for everybody. It's better for the people who work. It's better for patients who receive care. It's better for families who are, you know, trying to navigate that. It's better. It's just a giant change in the system and how the medical training system has to work. And it's been a very challenging, very challenging change.
It's all about allocation of resources, which takes us to the federal government shutdown.
Oh boy.
And when I asked, what do we want to kick around on Monday? And you said, can we mention that as part of the government shutdown, the president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention because nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola and Mpox and measles outbreaks in the U.S. and things like that. I mean, there's been a lot of, and again, here comes that S word again, and I'm sorry, people don't like this, but it's stupid. And there have been some stupid layoffs and stupid moves, but laying off the people who respond to Ebola outbreaks and things like that is right up there on the list of stupid.
Ebola is not in this country because we keep an eye on it. And these are the people who have gotten laid off. And not to mention all of the respiratory diseases. We are entering respiratory disease season. So if you haven't gotten your flu shot, your COVID shot, your RSV shot, talk with your doctor about which one of these things are, if not all of them. This is the time to protect yourself. But these are the folks that were laid off, and they weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic. And he said, this chaos has to happen. But I fundamentally disagree. You can't lay off all of these leaders, including the entire staff of the CDC in Washington, D.C. That's the conduit to Congress from the diaspora of CDC people who are all over the world keeping an eye on all of these infectious diseases. What are we going to do when Congress doesn't know what's brewing? And what are we going to do as practicing doctors in the wilderness all across the country trying to make decisions for our patients without information?
It just, we hear that, some of them were immediately, you know, rescinded and the layoff notices and they were hired back. But A, we don't know that. We can't really trust you because there have been so many people who have heard that they were fired, then not fired. And then, you actually are fired. And then you're not fired.
Well, and this happened Friday at 9 o'clock on Friday night of a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So we don't actually know who's there, who they took it back. But we just don't know.
It was all about, you know, looking tough, like, if you guys won't do what we want for the government shutdown, we're going to fire all these people. You did not have to fire all these people. That was not an inevitable function of a government shutdown. It means a lot of people work without pay and get paid later. But to take it to the step of actually firing people is, you know, wildly unnecessary. And I mean, that's just for starters of the things they've done that are so over and above what would be necessary in a government shutdown. And we mentioned that in the Sunday morning newsletter as well, that you've got all of these, you know, healthcare cuts. You've got all of the plain politics with spending cuts. We've talked about that. Now they're putting partisan propaganda on government websites. And even the airport video at TSA, which used to be a very common sense video of what could be in your bag and what couldn't be in your bag. And then when it when the administration changed in January, it was Kristi Noem. And it was just her. Just her talking like, I'm Kristi Noem from TSA and we're doing all these great things for you, which it was not informative whatsoever. It was totally a vanity project. And now it's a new video with Kristi Noem going, because of Democrats shutting down the government, blah, blah, blah. I mean, again, just political propaganda playing in the airports. And somebody let it be known that these videos are not required to be played by the airports. And so Portland, Oregon was the first airport to go, yeah, we're not playing those.
I love Portland. All the pictures of the people in the blow-up costumes in the streets. That is just the best.
Oh, yeah. And Saturday Night Live did Tina Fey was on playing the role of Kristi Noem, Amy Poehler as Pam Bondi. And it was nice to see every so often Saturday Night Live gets its political mojo back and definitely had it in pointing out, I mean, yes, the ridiculousness, but the cruelty in a ridiculous way about the way that this shutdown is being handled and how it affects very real people and not just doctors and their patients. We've talked about in farming and in the business world, they're not seeing the data that government normally collects for all of us and enables us to make smart decisions about investments or planting or anything like that. And all of these functions are just gone right now. And again, only so that they, Trump and the Republicans, can protect the massive cuts that they made to healthcare. Thankfully, Kristen, poll after poll after poll is showing folks aren't buying this. They understand what's really at stake here.
Yeah, which means that when we're not buying it, we have to tell our representatives that we're not buying it. We have to let them know that this is not working for us. We are in an information deficit, as Pat said, in every field, whether it's agriculture or medicine or business. We don't have the data that we are used to make these important decisions. And I want to bring it back to the CDC and the firing of Dr. Susan Meniarz. She's a Trump supporter. She's a loyalist. And when she was told that she would have to fire people just because she was told to fire people, and she would have to rubber stamp medical decisions without weighing in on them, without using her professional capacity to determine whether they were correct or not, that was really where the levee broke for her, a Trump supporter. So if this is happening even in Republican camps, even in MAGA world, how extreme are these people? How reckless? And where does it stop? Is there any place where they are actually thinking this could be harmful to the American public? We need to have some sort of a conscience here. It doesn't appear that there is.
No, I mean, it really does look like you could not have asked for more if you were, say, I don't know, Vladimir Putin, and said, how can I undermine the United States of America? Oh, if only we had a president of the United States who would do the undermining of America for me. And it's happening on so many different fronts right now. And I heard somebody talk about this morning about, you know, the approaching 250th birthday of the country next year. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know that people have appreciated what either we have lost or what we are in danger of losing that has made America what it was for 250 years. And when you're laying off the people responding to Ebola outbreaks, that might be a hint of what we're facing right now and need to stand up against. Still ahead this morning, we're going to be talking to State Representative Jody Emerson about her new package of bills to support higher education in Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Now, my primary role as host of this program for you, the listener, is to provide some information, hopefully in an entertaining manner. But from a work standpoint, I really only have two duties. One is to promote Up North News. You can get the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. And two is to tell you about all the great stuff on Civic Media. And sometimes Pat has to be reminded 2, 3, 4 times, hey, Kristen has a show too. What say we finally ask Dr. Lyerly what is on the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show, with my apologies for being just failing at the basics of this job here, Kristen.
So. You're so good at your job, Pat. What, I just love you.
What do you got going on, Kristen?
My show is so much fun. It is a show that we do for love. And last weekend, I talked with State Senator Kelda Royce, who is running for Wisconsin governor, about why she's running. And we covered everything from her family to reproductive rights to the things that she's been able to accomplish in a bipartisan manner in this complicated legislature and government that we have in Wisconsin. And also maple syrup. And it's a delightful conversation that's really meant to help you know who Senator Royce is and why she believes she would be the best person for Wisconsin governor. So definitely check it out if you are looking at that wide Democratic primary field and thinking, geez, who are all these people and how do they set themselves apart? This is the first in a series. Francesca Hong's coming up, and I've got invites out to everybody else as well.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them. So if you want to follow, if you want the truly up close and personal conversations with the candidates for governor, you're going to want to listen to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show at its new time and its new home, like across the network, Saturdays at noon.
True story. Also streaming on my YouTube channel, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
You have a YouTube channel now.
I know. Abe and I are doing it. We're having so much fun. Abe, my oldest son, is my producer, and this is like our little mom-son pet project. So every day we're chatting about how we can do this a little bit better and who we should talk to. And it's just really, it's a great do together.
What's the handle on this? Oh, is it Kristen Lyerly?
Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Oh, okay. Because I see a Kristen Lyerly here, but there's a Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Kristen Lyerly is, I got to take that down. That's my personal one.
She's
from
a fraud.
Ages ago.
Yes, there it is. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and a YouTube channel. Look at this.
I know. Isn't it fun? And you know what we're going to talk about this week on my show, which will premiere.
Let me get this right. Hey, Kristen, what's on the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show this weekend?
Good job, Pat. Way to do your job.
Basic.
It's very WISCO. So it's going to premiere on Saturday at noon, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about menopause. There is a new menopause clinic opening up in, of all places, Wausau, so the middle of the state. Menopause is one of those things that is really challenging to get treatment for. We've been seeing these clinics popping up in lots of different places. They're kind of alternative-y, but what kind of actual medicine do they offer? So we've got a board-certified OBGYN opening up a clinic in the heart of Wausau. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about menopause in general. We're going to talk about the political intersection, of course, of menopause and what's happening across the country. It's going to be a really great conversation.
That is, again, speaking now as a doctor spouse, among the things that have really changed over the decades is, well, first off, just talking about some of these things like menopause. It was just one of those things you just didn't talk about. And if they did talk about it, again, because so many things for the longest time were male-centric. And so it was about bedroom stuff and menopause and not all of the other health concerns about it. I recall producing one of the TV newscasts and one of the anchors, a woman, wanted to get a female physician in to talk about menopause. And everybody was like, oh, we can't talk about menopause on TV and blah, blah, blah. And she could not find a female doctor to do it because Sherry at the time was young and shy and everything else. She finally found a male doc who would come on and talk about menopause. And he did. He just focused completely on bedroom stuff as much as she tried to steer the conversation into other areas. And it was a disaster. It really was. And it was one of those times where the phone rings in the control booth afterwards, and it's just Sherry saying, I'll do interviews from now on. Just don't ever have that guy back on again.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, like doctors are not trained to do media. So
no.
And we're pretty good in the exam room for the most part. But when it comes to like when there's a camera in front of you, that makes it really hard. And menopause is hard to talk about because that is the thing that like the bedroom stuff is the stuff that is like really acute. But anybody who's been through menopause knows that there's a lot of other stuff too. There's your weight gain in your belly and the hot flashes and the exhaustion and the mood changes, and everybody's a little bit different. So some people have a great time in menopause. They think it's the, like, no more periods. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And other people really suffer and they need to know what their alternatives are. And it's all compounded by the fact that we weren't able to get good treatments for menopause for a long time because of a study that came out that made it really scary for people to seek that kind of treatment and for us to offer that kind of treatment. And, you know, there's not a lot of information out there about women's health in general. We don't study women. When we study like heart disease or general conditions, it's usually men that we're studying. So that's another political piece. What do we fund when we are funding research in this country? What do we fund so that we can ensure that the whole population is represented here? And we are actually looking into things that affect certain half of the population.
Yes. And I'm not disagreeing with any of that. When I add to it by saying, frankly, aging overall, how many times have I said on this program, I feel like in some ways I'm a real life training manual for the adolescence of old age, because like your body is changing and what is going on? And I'm complaining about all these aches and pains and I'm using it for laughs on the radio, but these are very real things. Or even as the spouse of somebody with menopause, you know, growing up for decades with a wife who was always cold, always needing a blanket. Now is always hot, you know, always. And that's just going to be the change. And you have to learn how to negotiate these things. And nobody, like you said, talked about it much in the past. So to have somebody like you doing it on a show is a big deal. It's a great deal. And you can catch Dr. Lyerly's show Saturdays at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. And again, replayed on Sundays or now on the YouTube channel as well.
Yeah.
Dr. Lyerly, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas. Great hanging out with you.
Yeah, have a great start to the week. And when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about things that are happening in the news at the state capitol, including the difference between regulations and protections. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, we mentioned earlier it's Indigenous Peoples Day. That's a holiday for some folks, including at Courier Newsroom. So Selena Heller will be back next week. You might have also said, where's Rob from Tigerton? Rob has a confession to make. Good morning from Tigerton. He put up on YouTube just minutes ago. It's cloudy and 54 degrees. I'm overtired. I slept over 10 hours. I had a busy weekend. Rob Parker and I can attest, no penalty for oversleeping, unless you're like the host of the show and you have to log on like right at 6 a.m. For everybody else, nope. You sleep what you can.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I am impressed. Can I borrow a couple of those 10 hours per chance?
I mean, I thought it was a big deal when I like once or twice hit like 6.5 hours sleep. And it just occurred to me to sleep for 8 hours.
It's hard.
For 8 hours and you're not like crispy, you know, like so sleep deprived from like a night or two before, like just a regular night and you'd sleep for 8 hours. I have no memory of when that might have happened previously in my life. It did happen. I just can't tell you when. Rob goes on to say, Saturday went to visit my friend and classmate Debbie. They had a benefit for her for fighting breast cancer. Had a great time visiting and contributing to the benefit. So Rob is still with us. Just got to sleep in. You lucky dog.
Lucky guy.
Although, again, if you're overtired and working hard, I mean, look, the guy's been mowing lawns every weekend since the snow melted.
Rob's a busy guy.
He is. So he gets a pass that way. So, Rob, we're glad that you chimed in. And everybody else, you get to do the same. Head over to the Up North News or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages. Put a good morning in there. Let us know where you're listening from. Let us know if you have a question or a comment or your own two cents on the program. You can also leave a voice note using the Civic Media app or text us through the Civic Media app. And we like almost never talk about this, but I think we've got the phones working now. And at some point, now that I'm not traveling, we actually could start telling people the phone number again, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Parker's looking at the phone right now.
Yeah, it's not ringing yet.
Well, no,
I guess there is a 7-second delay.
I did give the phone number just now, so it might take a minute. Plus, we often have, you know, guests and other things going on that we frankly don't have the call volume of say a Todd Alba, but everybody likes to talk to Todd Alba. I mean, he's an easy conversation, you know, and you can catch him from 2 to 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Otherwise, without the calls, I end up yapping about something that's on my mind. Here's one of them now. The State Assembly will be in session this week working on a bill. And one of the bills that Republicans running the legislature are looking at passing is a bill that would shield police or district attorneys when it comes to officer-involved deaths. Under current law, if there is an officer-involved death of some type, the district attorney in that county has the discretion whether or not to issue a criminal complaint that may charge that person with a crime. Current law also says that if a district attorney decides not to issue a complaint against an officer or somebody else involved in an officer-related death, a judge may conduct a hearing to determine if there is probable cause to believe that that person committed a crime, and if so, issue a criminal complaint. And that has happened in multiple instances where the family of somebody who died in an officer-involved situation did not like that the district attorney did not bring charges against that officer and petitioned to a court, and a judge held a hearing and in some cases issued a criminal complaint against the officer or other person involved. Sounds like the system works the way it's supposed to right now. What would happen if you had a district attorney and or police, sheriffs, whatever, who essentially were circling the wagons and you did not have that outlet for an independent judge or court to review the material? Well, that's exactly what Republicans want in this new bill that they're considering. Under this bill, when there is an officer-related death, a death which results directly from the actions or the omission of a law enforcement officer, and according to the bill, if the district attorney determines there's no basis to prosecute the officer, a court may not issue a complaint against the involved officer unless there is new or unused evidence presented. Which again, if you read that part off to people, I could see a lot of people going, oh yeah, well that makes sense. There needs to be new evidence if the DA decides not to prosecute. But that also puts the assumption in there that a DA is never going to feel sympathetic to the cop, or let's just take it to its extreme. If there are corrupt cops or corrupt district attorneys who are looking to protect themselves rather than the person that law enforcement officer killed, you'd never get any charges. You'd never get any justice. It would enable for cover-ups. That's why you need the option of having a judge take a look at the evidence. And so for Republicans to put forward this bill is, well, it's questionable. I truly question the motives of why you would remove a safeguard. And what those Republican lawmakers really aren't doing is they aren't putting their feet in the shoes of somebody. Let's say it happened to their son or grandson, daughter or granddaughter, being involved in an officer-involved death. And of course, their first thought is, well, no, my kid's good. That would never happen. Well, again, you're now painting with a broad brush that anybody who has been killed by police or sheriff's deputies or state troopers or anybody like that, that they've all been guilty, that nobody's ever been wrongfully killed by officers in the line of duty. Were you not paying attention to everything that led up to George Floyd and beyond? I know there wants to be all of this. I mean, Scott Walker did it again last week. All this bringing up George Floyd and the protests, which led to riots, which led to fires and things, that they want that to negate and wash away all of the instances prior to that where unarmed people, primarily unarmed Black men and women, were killed in officer-involved incidents. And there may or may not have been charges. And many times if there were charges, the officer was still exonerated. And so there was this real sense that there is a lack of justice in the system. And now you want to take away another safeguard that's in there that would make sure there is at least, if nothing else, the illusion of justice, the prospect, the hope for justice. If that were to happen to your son or daughter, sister, brother, parent, it just does not make sense to remove the safeguards against circling the wagons, which can happen. We need judges to be able to hear the exact same evidence, the exact same testimony, and say, yeah, this does warrant a criminal complaint. And keep in mind, this is not a conviction. You're not convicting somebody. You are issuing a criminal complaint that says, let's go through this process and let's see if the evidence shows beyond a reasonable doubt that what this officer did was wrong, was so wrong that it constitutes a crime. You can't tell me that that never happens. And you can't tell me that we have to give all law enforcement a blank check to do whatever they think is best in the moment. Because again, you're simply opening the door to have an increase in the number of corrupt cops. And nobody likes to think about that. But if you think it's never happened, you're fooling yourself. And so we need a criminal justice system that provides that outlet for somebody independent of what's going on, you know, in police departments and prosecutors' offices to look at that evidence and make a determination as to, you know, whether we need to go forward with further investigation. Jim in Appleton writes on the text line, it is far too easy for law enforcement to avoid consequences in a death by simply saying, I was afraid for my life. And that's exactly the case. And there have been multiple instances of that just in the Milwaukee area. I don't have the article in front of me here, but Isaiah Holmes, a great writer for the Wisconsin Examiner, has looked into some of the officer-involved shootings in the Milwaukee area over the years and how the what were supposed to be the investigations into the officers' actions often became investigations into the family members of the people who were killed, or at least interrogations that put the burden of proof on the dead person rather than on the officer to show that you can't just say, I was afraid for my life. You're trained. You have training in things like de-escalation and other tactics. And yes, I would not want to be in their shoes. I salute anybody who goes into law enforcement for those reasons and puts their lives on the line all the time. But again, that is not a blank check for doing things that you know you shouldn't have done in the moment. And it is simply wrong to remove one of those safeguards that is in the legislation. So again, that's one of the things that will be taken up tomorrow, I believe, in the State Assembly. I believe that bill has already passed the State Senate. And we'll talk about other legislative matters with State Representative Jody Emerson from the Chippewa Valley coming up in our next hour, including a package of legislation about higher education. And we'll have her explain what it does to, again, show that Wisconsin supports people who want to go get an education at a college and university or a technical school or anything beyond. There needs to be an emphasis on the whole range of jobs and careers, which includes the trades, but also includes colleges and universities and much more. And that includes making sure that higher education is affordable in the state and that the educators are supported in the state. And Representative Jody Emerson will be talking to us more about that coming up in a little bit. I also noted earlier, in case you missed it, in the legislature that another package of Republican bills going through would deal with what Republicans claim are onerous regulations, that we have apparently an onerous regulatory environment in the state, and that this new package of bills could make it easier for some of these regulations to be stripped away. But regulations can also be thought of as protections, against, again, people who would pollute, or bad employers, or places that would rip you off as a consumer. And yet there are Republicans who've got this package of bills out there that would make it easier to repeal some of these laws, some of these protections. It would force state taxpayers to pay people who successfully win rollbacks of regulations. It would also put more paperwork into play before other regulations or protections could be put into effect. And then the one that really gets talked about is that, again, in their phrasing, regulations would automatically disappear after 7 years unless a state agency restarted the process to keep them in place. And again, for some people, that sounds wonderful that, you know, if a regulation is on the books, they have to prove it. Otherwise, it just goes away. Well, I would never be in the camp of saying, yeah, it should just go away. They should be reviewed. But to just say that they're going to go away and you get a legislature that is all in the back pocket of, you know, corporate industrial polluters, for example, and they don't take any steps to help a regulation be renewed and it just goes away. It's like Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee said, I like air and water, specifically breathable air. And I don't know what the price tag is on that, but it maybe should be that there are certain safeguards that are safeguards, you know, things that keep us safe and should not just go away on a political whim. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back on a Monday morning. It is October 13th, 2025. If you're getting your day going here, 7:52 right now, Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska joins us as well to go over the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good would be the Brewers, the bad would be the Packers. The ugly maybe is unfair to the Packers, but I mean, it was a win. It was just kind of a boring game, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, it was the great and the sort of good, and then definitely the ugly. This weekend has brought maybe a better system, although it's not quite as catchy. I will start with the good news that the Brewers are playing in the NLCS, and that starts tonight across our five stations on the network. So we will have a best of seven series with the Dodgers. I think there's a lot already happening kind of behind the scenes on this, including the Dodgers trying to turn it around and say, well, the Brewers have the best record in baseball, so we're actually the underdogs today.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
with your $500 million payroll, right?
When Blake Snell, who has a salary that is almost double that of the Brewers' entire pitching staff, says it, it just makes you go,
It doesn't work, kids. Again, $500+ million payroll versus what's the Brewers? Just over 200, I think. It's a little less.
Whatever's in the change cup in your car. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So, again, it's great that we've done it. We're not making excuses here, though, because, frankly, again, it was the Dodgers that eliminated the Brewers in 2018 in Game 7 of the League Championship Series. So, and they have just shown us enough now that, you know, you can't help but think we can do this. After all, how many times do we beat the Dodgers this year? Here's the answer. All of them. All of them. We beat the Dodgers in all six games this year. So can we squeeze four more wins out of this? Yes, we can.
Yeah, and the Brewers are doing it without having to rely on one or two guys. This is a everybody step up situation.
They get hurt. Brandon Woodruff comes to mind. You know, can't depend on him, you know. And it's always somebody else. But boy, I tell you, as a unit, they sure did gel all those pitchers on Saturday against the Cubs. You know, the hitters hitting the solo home runs. We never know who's going to drop off the roster because of injuries, but the ones that stay, they're very good at playing next man up.
Yep, and that's been the mentality for the Brewers. The fact that you're getting contributions from all spots in the rotation, in the bullpen, in the lineup, that just, to me, speaks a lot more to trying to go into a postseason series of a small market team and saying, well, you know, we've got like six guys we can rely on and then a bunch of other guys who we hope do well. Well, here you're bringing 26 in, and all 26 are bringing something to the table. So that's why I'm more optimistic this year with the Brewers, and why I expect this to be a fun, probably very stressful, but fun series to follow.
Stressful but fun is a very good way to put it. Yes. This is very much just a trivia note, but I want to mention it anyway, that I saw someplace. This is the first time in I forget how many years, but there are no wildcard teams in the league championship series. These are all division winners. You had Seattle beating Toronto last night 3-1. They will play game two at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and then game one of the National League Championship Series between the Brewers and Dodgers. Again, first pitch 7:08, pregame at 6:30 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. As for the Packers, you had Josh Jacobs running for 2 touchdowns, Tucker Kraft barreling his way into the end zone. Packers beat the Bengals 27-18. And I like how Josh Jacobs had the flu, threw up a couple of times, but said, you know, one of his best games ever prior to that was with the flu. So as a football coach, Jimmy, I think you can recommend against all doctor's orders that if you have you know, a communicable disease, tough it out. Get out there and run that football.
Hey, we played 2 games with pretty much the entire roster, including me and the coaching staff, sick. It didn't go as well for us. But the Packers yesterday, the win for them, I think everybody just seemed like they weren't impressed. They were underwhelmed by what the Packers did. But with a kicker they literally signed on Saturday, able to get some big kicks in, and the fact that they were able to, you know, kind of hold off a good second half by the Bengals and trying to come back there. I think that you'll take the win any way you can get it, especially when we're talking mid-October. There's a lot of season left. I mean, they got to get through January, February, if you're being extremely optimistic. Still think, though, that the offense, it feels like the offense has got kind of lit of a lid on it right now. It feels like the offense could just up and take off at any point. They still have Christian Watson coming back later this year, but you see these flashes of the Packers offense and you're like, you're just waiting for them to break out and just do some amazing things. But that being said, you'll take a win any way you can get it. The Packers are 3-1-1.
And they travel to Arizona next Sunday. Once again, it's the late game, 3:25. Pregame begins at 1 o'clock on some of the Civic Media Network stations. And we didn't kill enough time. We got to talk about the Badgers.
Oh no!
I came back at a bad time.
Parker, you were supposed to tell us to keep this thing moving, keep this thing moving. I guess
the opposite part.
That's okay. Lost Iowa 37-0. Which, again, we don't need to talk about the game. What we need to talk about is Penn State just did a buyout with their coach James Franklin. It's only going to cost them $56 million. What's the buyout price tag for Luke Fickell right now?
It's about half of that after this year. You know, this year, next year, that
28 million.
Yeah, it comes down quite a bit after this year. It's down in the low tens of millions, which is still enough money for me to say, hey, if they were to pay me not to coach, I'd take that, you know.
Yeah.
But personally, but and
look, let's state for the record that if a year from now we're sitting here eating crow, going, wow, I really thought we should take that buyout, but look at this team. Wow, has Fickell really put them together? I will be so happy to eat crow a year from now if that's the case. I'm just saying right now, I don't think I have to work up an appetite for crow.
Yeah, I think that that's the reason why we haven't seen any action yet, is that there's a pretty big buyout here. And that's the reason why you're not going to see any immediate action. People are calling for it, social media, elsewhere. Yeah. Fans are showing up by not showing up. But like, hey, that's a big price tag for the Badgers to swallow right now.
You got to run out the string here, which includes their next game against Ohio State. Nothing to it. Coverage begins at 12:30 this coming Saturday on stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Go Brewers, and we'll talk to you Wednesday.
Talk to you Wednesday, man.
All right. State Representative Jody Emerson joins us in our next hour to talk about higher education and other fall session matters for the Wisconsin legislature here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.